Get out of the crowd, whatever you have to do to get out of the crowd and get into the congregation of Christ. Get in with the group of people who are pursuing the heart of God. Get in with those people because that's where revelation happens. That's where Jesus reveals himself. Happy Palm Sunday to you. Thank you for being here at Trinity Church. So good to see everybody here today. Thank you for joining us online. Our online service continues to grow, and obviously the service here continues to grow. The Highland Park campus is growing. God's doing great things at Trinity Church. Well, I love springtime. This, as Pastor Robert mentioned, this is my favorite time of the year as well. Holy Week is a powerful time, but something happens every spring in my yard. I have a yard, and I like to try to take care of it. I'm not the best at it. But every year, I'm on a collision course with weeds. Every year. I mean, I work on my yard. I try to prep it correctly. I try to follow the stuff that, you know, that you're supposed to do to fertilize it, get the soil ready, and all the pre-emergent stuff and all that. I do all that stuff, and I actually make my own little anti-weed potion stuff that I spray to kill. I mix it up like a mad chemist, trying to do everything I can to kill and wipe out weeds. Because I just don't like them. They bother me. They're uninvited to my yard. I have not invited them. They show up on my property. They don't pay rent. They just come and just eat up my soil. And it bothers me every year. So I'm on a collision course with weeds. Had it yesterday. Spent the whole day in the yard, working in the yard, and the weeds won. Tweaked my back trying to pull weeds, deal with weeds. And so I collide with weeds every year. But you know what is interesting is that Palm Sunday is really about a collision. It's really about a collision. It's the triumphal entry of Jesus. The title of our message today is The Triumphal Entry. And there's three words I want us to focus on. Three words. First one, crowds, time, and temple. If you're a note taker, crowds, time, and temple. let me open with a story. Now, if you could just go with me with this story. Place yourself in the story. Imagine, if you will, that you're on top of a mountain, maybe a hill covered with grass, and it's a beautiful view of a valley that's out in front of you. You can see the entire valley, and through this valley, there's one road that passes and winds its way up through the hills and the valley, over the river, through the fields, through the woods. It winds its way up the valley. And from your perspective, you can see the upper end of the valley. There's a vehicle, a car, driving on the road. It's going way too fast, moving down the valley. And you can look down the other side of the valley, and you can see another vehicle out for a Sunday afternoon stroll. These two vehicles are coming up the valley, and there's a big bend that both of them converge on. And you can see from your perspective exactly what's about to happen. There's a collision coming. It's like in a horror movie when you're watching a bad movie and you know exactly what the bad thing that's about to happen. I mean, everybody in the audience, you can see, don't walk around that corner, because if you do, this bad person's gonna do something to you. You can see it and you're yelling at the screen, but what do? They walk around the corner, of course, and something bad happens. Well, there's a collision that's being described to us here. Welcome to Matthew 21, the triumphal entry story. Jesus has spent 3 years communicating to the Jews and to all that would listen, now is the time for the coming of the kingdom. Yeah. Now is the time when God needs to be made king. That's what he's been preaching. He's been healing people. He's been working miracles. He's been doing magnificent things all throughout the country, preaching that the kingdom is here now. And the people have been going along their way, and really they've been looking more for the destruction of Rome. They've been oppressed by Rome, and so they're focused on getting Rome out of their lives. Jesus is focused on preaching the message of the kingdom. And so when he comes into Jerusalem for this last time to start Holy Week. When he comes in on Sunday, he comes in and he's on a collision course with these three words. He's on a collision course with crowds. He's on a collision course with time. And he's on a collision course with the temple. Let's take a look at it. Our first collision is called crowds, Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their coats on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, I want you to notice what the crowds were yelling as Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem for the last time, for Holy Week. As he entered the city, riding on a donkey, very humble, as he comes to the city, they're shouting and yelling, "Hosanna." Hosanna means save now. Now, if you and I were there in the crowd, if we were in the context, if we knew exactly what they were saying when they were saying this, here's what they were saying. "Jesus, overthrow the Romans politically, help us economically, lead us militarily." That's what the people really wanted. When the people were yelling Hosanna, that's what they wanted Jesus to do for them. The crowds wanted outward salvation. Jesus came to give them inward transformation. The crowds wanted to be saved from their circumstances around them. Jesus wanted to save themselves from sin. Yes. So what does this mean for us today? In every problem you and I have, or ever will have, the way of the kingdom is first inward transformation and then outward salvation. Think about this for a moment. In crowds are led by human desire. When you're in a crowd, crowds are always led by human desire. People in crowds make signs, protest signs, that read something like this: "Change my outward circumstances now. Change the way things are happening around. I don't like this. I want you to change it." That's what people in crowds say. However, there's a different group of people. There's a different group of people that are in congregations. Congregations are led by divine revelation. People in congregations, because they've chose to enter into the congregation, are led by divine revelation. And here's what they do. They don't make signs and hold them up. They come to the altar on their knees and say, "Jesus, transform my heart. I know the issues with me. It's in here. Jesus, help me. Jesus, touch me. Jesus, change me." This is why when the woman who was a prostitute came and worshiped at Jesus' feet on her knees, washing his feet, her worship was acceptable to him because she wasn't holding up a sign saying, "Change my circumstances." She was saying, change me, I'm unworthy. The Pharisees looked on at that and they looked on with disgust because they want Jesus to change things around them because they're holding up signs saying, kick out the Romans. Yeah. Their worship was unacceptable to Jesus. But the woman on her knees chose to enter into Christ's congregation, and so her worship was holy and pure and magnificent. I love the way Proverbs 29:18 puts this in the NIV. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Or in the Message, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. This is what happened with the crowd. See, the crowd on Sunday yelled out, Hosanna, as Jesus was coming into the city. By Friday, they were yelling, crucify him. The same group of people, the same crowds. On Sunday, Hosanna. On Friday, we want this guy out of our lives. Crucify him. See, in the crowd, you and I can't see what God's doing. We'll miss it. If we stay in the crowd, we'll stumble all over ourselves. So, Jesus is on a collision course with crowds. He's on a collision course with crowds. What should we do today? Very simple. Get out of the crowd. Get out of the crowd and make sure you get yourself into the congregation. Get out of the crowd, whatever you have to do to get out of the crowd, and get into the congregation of Christ. Get in with the group of people who are pursuing the heart of God. Get in with those people because that's where revelation happens. That's where Jesus reveals himself. Our second collision is with time. So the first collision Jesus has is with crowds. The second collision we see during Holy Week is Jesus has a collision with time. Let's take a look at it. From Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. As he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you, watch this, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You didn't recognize the moment in which God came to you. You didn't recognize the moment in which Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and brought heaven to us on earth. You didn't recognize that moment. You see, Jesus wept over these people because they rejected him. Because here, Jesus wants to give them peace, but they want the destruction of Rome. He wants to give them peace, but they want the removal of Rome more than they want the Prince of Peace in their hearts. Jesus wept over them. What does this mean for us in our day and in our time? Because we're not dominated by an oppressive Roman government. But we are dominated and oppressed by a culture that seeks to steal all of our time, consuming us in politics, entertainment, social media, career, financial pressure, and the list goes on and on and on. We live, I call it the 24/7 culture of noise, constantly streaming into our households, onto our personal devices, onto our computers, television screens, conversations. Constantly, we live in a culture that wants to consume us with its noise. The 24/7 culture of noise, it's really like a nuclear reactor. You know, a nuclear reactor can produce a constant feed of power. The problem is that it has a nasty byproduct called radioactive waste that we have to contain and make sure that we remove it, because if you're exposed to it, it's very dangerous, very toxic. In fact, it can kill you. Well, in the same way, the 24/7 culture of noise that you and I live in, it produces a constant power feed of noise into your life. The problem is it has a nasty byproduct. And that byproduct is called anxiety. We struggle with anxiety today more than any other generation ever before us. In fact, the generation, the people today that struggle the most with anxiety are the youngest among us that may still live at home with very little responsibilities, but yet they have a higher level of anxiety than anybody on the planet. Why is that? It's because they're connected to the 24/7 culture of noise bombarding them, telling them who they are, instead of Jesus telling them who they are. And it always produces anxiety, tension in our soul that we weren't designed to live with, especially young people, not designed to live with that tension and anxiety. It's there because of this 24/7 culture of noise. So Jesus is on a collision course with our time. What should we do? Cut the line. Cut the line to the 24/7 culture of noise in your life. Cut it. You got to cut that line. And then the good news, let the Prince of Peace consume your anxiety. Let the Prince of Peace. Jesus says, give it all to me. I'll take all the anxiety that you have. I'll take it all. It's not toxic to me. I can consume it all. I love what 1 Peter 5:7 says here about this. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You and I in this culture, we can cast all of our anxiety on God. And he cares for us and he'll take it. The last collision I want to talk about this morning, the last one and the most important is the collision that Jesus has with the temple. Now, this collision is interesting because it's kind of like a spaghetti Western. Like the little Westerns you would see where the hero would come into town and he would say these famous lines, you know, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. That's what Jesus said when he came to the temple. This town is not big enough for the two of us anymore. Let's read about it. Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone, watch this, Jesus would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers. Notice what's happening here. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the first place that he goes to is the temple. And when he goes to the temple, he only goes to the court of the Gentiles. He doesn't go into the main part of the temple, doesn't go to the court of the Jews, which he could have because he's a Jew. He doesn't go into the temple itself. Jesus could have gone into the Holy of Holies. He could have done all of that. He doesn't do that. He only goes to the court of the Gentiles because that's the only place in the temple that people like you and I, we're probably almost all of us Gentiles in here, that's the only place where Gentiles could go and worship and pray. It was God's provision for them. There was a court for them. In fact, it was the largest court. That's where they were to go when they traveled from all over the world, their long journey from Africa, from Rome, from different parts of the world. They would come and worship Yahweh in the temple, And if you were Gentile, that was the only place you could go. That's where Jesus went when he came into the temple. And what did he find there? He found money changers there. Now, this is interesting because the money changers were set up there to do something that was not prescribed in the law. They were there when you traveled from Africa and you had your local currency and you came to worship Yahweh. Many people were coming to give financial worship to God. They wanted to give a gift, an offering, a tithe, an offering to God, but they had their local currency. And so when they came to the temple, they had to exchange it for temple currency in order to be able to give their gift. Now, this was not required in the law. The Pharisees made this up. And they did it in order to take advantage of people. When people came to give their gift, let's say you had $10 and you exchange it into local currency so that you could worship God financially and give an offering to God, you only got $5 back. They would take half of it and enrich themselves and then give a kickback to their masters, the Pharisees. It was a racket. Jesus saw it for what it was, and what did he do? Jesus dealt with it. Why? Because Jesus is bringing heaven back into the temple. The Pharisees were doing everything they could to remove heaven from the temple, to bring the worst of earth. Jesus was coming, bringing the best of heaven and kicking out the worst of earth. But it gets worse. Because the next group of people that Jesus deals with is those who are selling doves. Now, they're selling doves because if you were a pilgrim and you'd travel from a long distance, you can't bring your animal sacrifice with you. So when you finally get to Jerusalem, you have to buy one in order to be able to offer sacrifice and worship God. And so you would come into the temple or come into the city to buy your sacrifice, and there would have been many different types of animals that you could purchase. But the Gospels only mention those selling doves. And the reason is this, ladies, this is particularly applies to you. If you were a woman and you were coming to the temple to offer a sacrifice of purification, what was prescribed for you out of the law was the sacrifice of a dove. If you were a leper or you had a skin disease, what was prescribed to you out of the law was the sacrifice of a dove. Or if you were among the poor, buying a sheep or a cow to make sacrifice would have been beyond your means. The only option you had was to purchase a dove. So you can see Jesus comes and deals with those who are taking advantage of the most marginalized people in society. Ladies, people who had skin diseases, who had to walk around saying, I'm unclean. People who were poor and couldn't afford anything else. The only thing they could afford was a dove, and yet these people were buying these doves at the temple at an inflated price. The Pharisees and those that were selling doves were taking advantage of the poor. They were taking advantage of women. They were taking advantage of people who were supposedly unclean in society, and they did it on purpose. And so Jesus came in and turned over all of their tables. Why? Because Jesus' purpose is to bring heaven back into the temple, the best of heaven, and kick out the worst of earth. Yes. And then lastly, our last group of people that Jesus has a collision with is the overseers of the temple. These are the people in charge of the administration of God's will on earth. These are the people in charge of what God wants to see happen on the earth through the temple. And they're called the Pharisees. And they had done something very intentional with the temple that had never been done before in history. The temple was positioned in the city. God told the people where to build it. It was positioned in the city so that when you came into the city from the Mount of Olives, were coming to Jerusalem to buy something, to have commerce, to meet with friends, or whatever the reason was that you came into the city. You had to go pass through the Mount of Olives, and you would come to the temple, and you had to walk around the temple in order to be able to get into the city. That was by design, so that when you came in the morning and you were about to do commerce, the first thing you saw was the temple. And so the first thing you did was give glory to God. Seek first the kingdom of God, as Jesus said in the New Testament. And that's what you would do. You would walk by the temple. You may even go in and you would worship, but you had to go around the temple to be able to get into the city to do your business. At the end of the day, when you had done your business and you were leaving the city, once again, you had to come and you had to walk around the temple to be able to get out of the city. And once again, you would give glory to God as you went on your way. But here's what the Pharisees did. Remember, these are the people in charge of administrating God's will on earth. Here's what they did. They said, we don't like that setup. Let's make the temple a shortcut. God made it where we had to go around it, a sacred place, a sacred moment, a sacred time. But we're going to do something different. We're going to break open the wall and we're going to make it a shortcut so that people coming into the city to get to the city, they've got to go through the court of the Gentiles. And when they're going through, we'll just, by the way, set up a marketplace that, by the way, we financially profit off of. This is what they had done to the temple. Jesus knows all of this context. He sees it all. And he comes in and he deals with it. Remember I said, Jesus would not allow anyone to pass through the court and sell their merchandise. Jesus had to deal with the shortcut that the Pharisees had set up through the temple, because what were they doing? They were bringing in the worst of earth. Jesus' purpose was to bring in the best of heaven. Jesus had a collision with the first century temple, and we're all glad that he did. Because of that collision, the temple now is in your heart and it's in my heart if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the beauty and the power of this collision, and we're glad that it's happened because now the temple is inside of each one of us. But here's what I want to say in conclusion, as we conclude this morning. I know, many of you want me to keep preaching for hours. I know it. It's okay. As we conclude this morning, here's what I want to say. Jesus is on a collision with our temples. He's on a collision course with the temple that's in your heart, with the temple that's in my heart. He's on a collision course. And here's what I think Jesus is after this Holy Week, as we worship God together, with many services planned. There's many activities, all by design, to draw us closer to Jesus. Here's what I think he's after. No more crowds in our temples blinding us to revelation. No more crowds in that temple in your heart, that place that's supposed to be a solitary place where you and Jesus meet, that temple that Jesus provided for when he died on the cross, that place inside of your heart that is supposed to be reserved for him and him alone. No more crowds in our temples. Secondly, I think this, no more 24/7 culture of noise stealing our sacred time. God wants to have sacred time with you. A Sabbath where the stuff of earth is pushed to the side and the best of heaven is something you enjoy all day long. A quiet time, a sacred time where God speaks to you in the morning as you read the word and it's you and Jesus communing together and it's time with him alone, where we say to the culture, you're out, Jesus is in. And then lastly, and most importantly, no more shortcuts. No more shortcuts through our sacred spaces. Through the sacred space that's in your heart, that's in my heart, no more shortcuts that are provided for the stuff of earth. No more shortcuts for politicians, entertainers, social media influencers, marketers. No more shortcuts in your soul. All they will leave you with is anxiety. Because no one but you and Jesus are supposed to occupy that sacred space. It's holy. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross to provide that space in your heart. We cannot allow the culture a shortcut through our souls any longer, because all it gives us is anxiety. All it gives us is pain and hurt. And God is saying this Easter season, this time during Holy Week, get the crowds out, cut the line to the 24/7 culture of noise, and get rid of the shortcuts, and spend time with me, and let me restore you. So, what should we do? Let Jesus cleanse your temple. Let him drive out the all-consuming stuff of earth and replace it with the magnificent life of heaven. Let Jesus do that for you. If you're like me and you know that this is what God wants to do in your heart, would you do me a favor? If you're like that and you want to pray about it, you want to take some action on that, would you stand to your feet right now? Okay, here's what I'd like for us to do. Let's come before the Lord and let the Lord do a cleansing work in our temple. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, because you've made provision for us. You, just like you made the court of the Gentiles a provision for Gentiles, you've provided for us your Son, who's now put the temple inside of us. And so, Father, we're so grateful. Lord Jesus, we invite you into the temple, and we ask that you do a cleansing work. Cleanse us this week. Cleanse us of the crowds that are in our temple. Lord, cleanse us from this dominating culture of noise that has a 24/7 feed that is stealing our sacred time. Lord, cleanse us from the areas where we've created shortcuts. Lord, forgive us and cleanse us. And Lord, restore our temples so that we can worship you in holiness, in beauty, and in power, and so that the free flow of heaven can be within us again. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for everybody to stand, and as a congregation, here's the way we're going to close our service today, and remember, I'm emphasizing as a congregation. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. We're going to pray this from the King James Version, probably the version that you learned this as a little kid, but let's pray this together as a congregation as we start out Holy Week. Pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Derek, for getting us prepared and ready for this Holy Week. It's going to be a fantastic week, remembering what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. We've got two things here I want to remind you to take with you. The first one is for you to take and to give away as an invitation to our Easter services. Be sure, take a picture of this, text it to some friends, give it away physically. We want to fill up all of our services with as many people as possible to hear the life-saving and changing message of Jesus all throughout this week. And be sure and take your worship guide. Everything we mentioned, the announcements, the things for you to sign up for and be a part of are right here in this worship guide. It changes from week to week. So take that with you and reference that as the opportunity arises. Aren't you glad you came to church today? We are so glad to have you with us in person and online. Don't leave just yet, though. If you would like prayer and would like to receive ministry, I want to invite our ministry leaders, our small group leaders up to the front. If you'll just find a spot here at the front, we want to pray with you. So don't leave if that's you. If you need prayer for a breakthrough, a new job, whatever the issue or the matter is, we want to pray, lay hands on you, and pray for you like the Bible instructs us. And with that said, we hope to see you at one of our services this week. We're at a small group near you. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace during this holy week. We love you. We'll see you later this week. Bye-bye.